Tired of losing in fantasy sports? Times are changing. Now it's just you versus the numbers. Our new sponsor, Prize Picks, is the perfect place for you. Whether the injury bug ruined your season-long fantasy team, or you're a seasoned vet in the daily fantasy space and are looking for a new challenge, Prize Picks is the place to be. On Prize Picks, you simply pick two, three, or four players each week and predict that they will go over or under their fantasy points projection. The best thing about Prize Picks is the payout structure. Prize Picks gives you the chance to win 10 times your money for getting just four predictions correct. Entries are so simple, they can be made in less than 60 seconds. Sign up today at prizepicks.com. Use the promo code Jeff. That's Jeff with a G. You can also go to the Prize Picks app and do the exact same thing. Use that promo code. You get 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks is truly daily fantasy simplified. It's Thursday, December 3rd. Welcome to week 13, which feels odd to say because week 12 just ended. We had a football game in the middle of Wednesday, but we're 3-2 from last week. I'll take it. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz. Smart on you. Matt, we're 3-2, buddy.
We're back. We are back. We are back. 3-2. That's awesome, man. Hey, we'll take it wherever we can get it. Half point here, half point there. Let's fly.
And we got a little bit lucky, which we needed. We haven't had breaks, right? We got Seattle.
How fucking time.
And Pittsburgh had a good number. Both got backdoor covered on the closing line, but we did not have that happen to us. I'll take a 3-2 week. I will take it. I will take it. I will take it. I will take it. And look, heading to week 13, man, there are some stinky, fishy lines. Oof. But we're going to take some of them. I have some sharper plays. I know you have some as well. Let's start us off with the first game on the list.
Let's do it, Jeff. Well, you talk about stinky games. Let's start with a real stinky game. Mike Glennon and the Jacksonville Jaguars head to Minnesota. The Vikings are laying 10.
No, I'm not on the Vikings in this game. I think Dalvin Cook, though, has a giant game. Like, if you're looking for some prop betting or some sort of prize picks, right? Daily fantasy. Go bet Dalvin Cook over. I think Dalvin Cook has a huge game against this really, really poor Jacksonville defense. It's gonna be bad. And Jacksonville's defense, by the way, 30th in points allowed, 29th in rush yards allowed, last in sacks. I mean, the Vikings should wipe the floor with them, but we're not putting our hard-earned money on this game.
No, we're not. Although I will say that the Jags have been. They've sort of been covering all like every week we've wanted to go against them and they've covered. And I don't think they're going to keep doing it, but I also am not sure if Minnesota is going to be able to sneak this out. You mentioned Cook. This is just something to be aware of for fantasy players, for bettors. He's on pace for the kind of usage that McCaffrey had last season. And McCaffrey, you know, he's suffering the consequences of that this year, but he's on pace for, I think, over 400 touches. Yeah. And he's not the same. McCaffrey is a freak. I mean, that guy is just like, he's so dominant. He can sort of withhold or withstand that punishment. I don't know if Cook can. And Kubiak saying that he's banged up, that's a direct quote, has me a little worried. I don't think that affects this game, but I think Thielen back is
I think so too, but we're not doing this right now.
No, we're so not. Neither side. Jacksonville's the play if you're doing it, I guess. Okay, Cleveland at Tennessee in such a strange line, a strange game. It feels like these two teams have to have played each other by now, but it's a 5.5-point line for the Titans.
The line sucks, but the Titans are 1,000% the play here. By far, it's not even close. I think you play them up to 7. We got 5.5, but like the line has been kind of started at 3, went to 6. Now we got 5.5, so there's some Browns buyback here as well. Look, we talk about DVOA a lot, right? And the efficiency numbers that Football Outsiders puts out there. Football Outsiders has Cleveland Browns as the worst 8-3 team they've ever measured. They have a negative 21 point differential, which is the worst by any 8-3 team or better in their first 11 games in NFL history. And the Browns have the 29th easiest schedule right now. So they're just sneaking by these games. They snuck by Jacksonville. And remember, they've played some okay quarterbacks. Remember recently Carr and Watson? But those games were in bad weather in Cleveland, right? Snow, rain, wind. Now they go to Tennessee and they face a Titans team that is getting hot, just like they did last year at the exact right time, right? Derrick Henry is steamrolling teams. The Browns are 20th in rushing DVOA. They've allowed a first down via the rush 33% of the time, which is 21st. I know Myles Garrett is back, but this is the best team the Browns have faced in a long time in good weather. The Titans are feeling good. I like the Titans here, -5.5. I want to put them in.
Wow, me too, Jeff. I actually was sure we were going to get this at 6 or more, and we'd have a real discussion about it, but as we speak, this one is at 6. It will definitely go to 6.5. You mentioned 7. It will probably be there by game time. The Browns last week were giving up more than 5 a carry to James Robinson, and they're going against Derrick Henry this week. And look, the Titans, I agree with everything you said, but the Titans are starting to look like the Titans, right? Like, this is the time of year where it gets a little harder to tackle A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And Cleveland's defense has given up more points on the road than any other team in the NFL this year. I really like Tennessee in this spot.
They're in. So, all right. We got one already.
Let's go. One down. Wow. Everything's coming up. Jeff and Matt. Next up, we've got Detroit at Chicago. Finally, the Matt Patricia cloud has been lifted. We'll see him as like a quality control coach in like the SEC next year. The Bears are 3-point favorites.
All right. This line opened, Matt, at the Bears favored by 6. It's now down to favored by 3. So a ton of public money being thrown in the line's direction. And we talked earlier this year when Bill O'Brien got fired that there has not historically been a dead cat bounce, right? The bounce this year, actually, it's done pretty well. I think both teams have covered. I am not betting on the Lions getting 3 points. I think it's the right play, actually, because the Bears' offense is so bad. The Lions' defense is not good either, right? It just feels like a game where we're just staying away because both teams, we don't know what we're getting from them.
Yeah, that's right. The historically, the shorthand here is it's about a .500 record when a bad coach gets fired for the next week when it's both straight up and the cover. This is a fishy line. You know, there's all this. There's so much money on the Lions, but like it hasn't budged. It's staying at that 3, which kind of makes me think that Vegas knows something here. So I agree. I'm staying away. If there something happens, because we tape this on Wednesday night, so much happens during the week. If Akeem Nicks is out and Galladay and Swift are in, this line will move, and I will potentially be intrigued by the Lions.
No, that's fair. That definitely is fair because that's, if those guys are back and Hicks is out, we saw last weekend that Hicks is such a big part of that run defense.
Totally. I'm sure, get to DeForest Buckner later. Yeah. But like those two guys, you can really tell a defense can fall apart if they're not there. Oh, boy. I have a feeling this is not going to be a pretty conversation that we're about to have here. This is the ugliest game of all time. It is the Las Vegas Raiders laying 8.5 points at the Jets.
Yeah. Is this terrible, the week? Terrible number.
I think
the Raiders are the play here. I know I texted you earlier this week about the Jets as being just kind of like a joke, like home favorite here, the Jets. Dude, the Jets are awful, right? They lose games by an average of 15 points a game. Think about what the Raiders right now, right? So the Raiders got embarrassed against Atlanta last weekend, 43-6. They're not a bad football team, right? Like they're a playoff caliber football team. Their offense is good. Their defense is getting guys back. They're getting injuries on the offensive line. They're getting guys back. Like they're kind of getting healthy again now, going back on the road, which is a problem. And we've seen the West Coast teams very recently not win those 10 a.m. kickoffs on the East Coast, right? The 1 p.m. Eastern games. But dude, the Raiders are 100% the play here. I know it's a public play. I get that. But the Raiders need to win this game for their own psyche by 3 touchdowns. Like they need to do it. And what about the Jets makes you feel that all this game will be close other than just the old school bet the home dog and just hold our nose and do it? I think the Raiders blow them out.
I think if you're listening to this Thursday morning, you need to see what your number is for the Raiders and bet them because they're 7.5-point favorites right now. And there's like a little bit of an edge on the money for the Jets. There's this weird sentiment I feel that people think this is the Jets' week. Like everybody thinks they're going to go 1-15 or better. And everybody saw them play, you know, the Raiders lay a stink bomb in Atlanta last week. I thought we might get this at 7 because the Sharps are going to, we're thinking about pushing this the other way. It went to 8.5.
Well, yeah, they know that everyone's hammering the Raiders this weekend. That's why we didn't get 7.5.
It's a surprising
plus place. I think they know though that this line might get to like 10 before kickoff, or 9.5. Like the money will come in so hard on Oakland is Vegas as the week goes on, that they're setting themselves up for a number that's sort of not where they're giving too much edge either. So I still think 8.5 though. You take the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a maybe. This is a great stat, Jeff. 0-11 teams like the Jets, 1-6 since 2000. The only team to lose to an 0-11 team, the Jets.
Like
I love that.
I wanted to make a case for the Jets. I really did.
Me too, man.
They're 32nd and deep. Like, it's just,
they're terrible.
They're so bad. And Oakland, and I think emotionally, Oakland needs this game really badly.
Yeah.
Like they're going to run the football. They're going to play good defense. Carr's going to do really well. And I know it's not the traditional bet you want to make. The one thing that concerns me though is that Carr has not been good in cold weather, and that's my concern. But running the football does travel in cold weather, so
yeah.
I like Oakland here.
It could be a nice get right spot for them.
Yeah,
I have one more little couple of Jets nuggets. Most games this year where they put up fewer than 10 points, the most games this year of any team under 20 points, and they've allowed 30 plus to every single non-divisional team they've played this year. Just like a trifecta of just terribleness. Yeah. I mean, they're like, they're really woeful. So, all right, we're going to put the Raiders in as a maybe. Enough piling on the Jets. The next one is a rematch of a game 2 weeks ago. Saints-Falcons. Saints are laying the 3 in Atlanta.
All right. So I said we're not going to do it anymore, but the Falcons are the team right here. Nothing to do with last weekend, by the way. And nothing to do with last weekend. I'll explain the reason why. They played this offense with Taysom Hill 2 weeks ago, right? And we'll start on that side of the ball. The Falcons defense is actually not playing that bad right now. Under Raheem Morris,
not at all.
They're only allowing 20 points per game. They were allowing 32 the first 5 weeks. Their defense is sixth in expected points added, EPA, since Raheem Morris took a hold. They're playing really good on defense, guys. I think we're ignoring that because they're the Falcons and we kind of read them off.
The
now they get now they get Taysom Hill for the second time in 3 weeks. They've seen the offense now. They know what the offense is. There's no surprise, right? There's no surprise of what the Saints offense is. They're going to run the football. That's what they want to do. The question becomes, on the other side of the ball, can the Falcons not do what they did last time, which is give up 8 sacks, hit Matt Ryan 17 times? But when you dig in the numbers, Pro Football Focus does a good job of grading sacks and pressures based off of who they're actually at, not just overall team stats. So Matt Ryan had 5 of the 8 sacks in that game attributed to him. As he didn't throw the ball, he didn't pull the trigger, all this stuff. So I think this weekend's game, offensively for the Falcons, they got embarrassed in that Saints game. They're just going to be much better this weekend. The thing that worries me, though, is they haven't converted very well in the red zone recently. The Saints have a very bad red zone defense. The Saints defense is second to last in the NFL in the red zone. So I think this game is very close. I think the Falcons might pull this off in the end. I like the second time in 3 weeks factor here of seeing the Taysom Hill offense. And Atlanta can't play any worse on offense in this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm on the Saints. Let me see how this argument stacks up. So I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think we're overlooking actually the Saints defense, who have given up one touchdown in the last 16 quarters. They have been unbelievable. The best unit, probably the best defensive unit, probably in the NFL, certainly over the last couple weeks. Last week, I felt like I was, every time I looked at the score of the Falcons Raiders game, that I was hallucinating because it seemed like the Falcons weren't even playing well and they won by 40.
No, they only had 300 yards on offense.
No, and I don't think this leads to a few potential red flags for me. Number one, they're coming off of a game where they just had a blowout but didn't really play well, which reinforces a kind of bad message. The Saints are scorching hot. Taysom Hill hasn't been great, but that defense has been. Julio Jones and Todd Gurley are both back at practice, but they're not going to be 100% against a very tough defense. Yeah. I think the Saints are just clearly the better team here. They also still haven't lost in the last 2 years without Drew Brees, which is just kind of odd.
Yeah.
7-0. So I think, and the last game was not close between these two teams. I know it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the Saints.
It was close for three quarters. It became a blowout at the end.
They gave up three field goals, right? It was like 20-9 or something. And Koo, by the way, is a little banged up. Which he's been unbelievable this year.
A couple of things to know. I think the under is in play here too, which we're not taking that. But there is reverse line movement to the Falcons, by the way. So if that makes you feel any better, it's now 2.5 in some places.
Yep.
So I just think Atlanta in this spot, it's not really off anything of last week. It's more just, generally speaking, they're playing better.
They are. I mean, you're on the right side here. I just think, I just like taking the Saints here. I know that the sharps are on the Falcons.
We'll put it as a maybe then.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Okay. Next up, let's do it.
Let's see if we even discuss it. The Bengals, 11.5-point road dogs at the Dolphins.
The play's the Dolphins, right?
Is it? As the biggest Dolphins backer and Fitzpatrick backer in the entire world, I'm a little skeptical of this.
Okay. What about the Bengals offense thinks they can score even? Their team total by was like 14.5, which is wild to me. What about that offense makes you think they're going to score against Miami's defense? No one scores against Miami's defense. And now the Bengals, with their bum offensive line and their third-string quarterback, are going to go into Miami and just put up a bunch of points. The issue is, can the Dolphins score enough points in this game to cover the 11.5? I just don't see any way that the Bengals keep this game close unless they have just a miracle on offense. Like, the Dolphins are going to bring so much pressure. They're going to force turnovers in this game. They're going to make life hell for Allen.
Yeah,
Brandon Allen,
Allen Brandon, who even knows?
I mean, I know it's a big number, dude. It's and we don't know if Tua or Fitz is playing at this moment, so maybe we can come back to this later. But I mean, I think this is where we're overthinking this one. The Bengals, dude, have no chance in this game to keep it close.
Yeah. Well, if it's Tua, I'm out. No chance. If it's Fitzpatrick, I mean, you know me. I'll bet Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Even with Tua, like, you can't see like a 21-7 win, 24-7 win?
I could see a 14-0 win before I could see that, to be honest. I mean, I think with Fitzpatrick, they could light him up, but the Dolphins.
So we'll put Miami in a maybe if quarterback situation changes.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, Dolphins 6-0 against spread in their last six at home against teams with losing records. And Cincinnati last week got a kickoff touchdown. That's probably not going to repeat this week.
Yeah. I just don't think they can score, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you convinced me. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of convincing for me to bet the Dolphins. I'm obsessed with betting them. So
I know you are. All right. Let's go to the next one then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. AFC South battle Colts. 3.5-point favorites at the Texans.
Dude, this one's tough, man.
Damn this hook.
I don't like the hook. Also, because of recording on Wednesday, this is the problem we've had this year. I don't know the status of the Colts' best defensive players who are on the COVID list right now, right? Yep. Like, DeForest, we don't know if Buckner's playing or Autry or anyone else. Ryan Kelly, their center. Like,
yep.
I can't give you a bet to make on this game until we know who's playing. I think if all those guys are playing, the Colts are the play here. But Houston's playing a little bit better recently, right? They're kind of feeling things a little bit. They're playing a little better. They had a little more rest, obviously, off the Thanksgiving game. But without knowing if the Colts players are playing, I can't tell you what to do here. What do you think, Matt?
I think, yes, of course, with all those caveats. But if I had to sort of, like, for the listener's sake, make a projection here, I am very comfortable with this taking the Colts at this number. A couple of reasons, and you'll probably laugh at this one, but the Colts' losses this season have all been to teams that are rush dominant. Jacksonville, which is like kind of funny, but James Robinson is good, and that's their offense.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Baltimore, Tennessee. And, you know, they probably should have lost to Green Bay, but they tend to give up, you know, they tend to get burned by those teams that can kind of control the clock.
Interesting.
And, you know, it doesn't turn into a shootout, but they just have to sort of catch up. I think the big problem here that people are forgetting about is Will Fuller being gone. Will Fuller this season, 8 touchdowns, 879 yards, and he's been healthy this whole season. So what is, I mean, Deshaun Watson's been great. Obviously, we talked about that last week. But what is this offense without potentially David Johnson and Will Fuller? I mean, we're talking about Brandon Cooks and Duke Johnson and Daniel Fells. Like, that's a tough ask against an Indianapolis defense that's coming off of a game where they got gashed. So I'm pretty into the Colts here, but you know,
I'm okay with putting them in here for now, and because I think if they get any of those guys back, it's a slam dunk for them to
be
in here. It's a must-win game.
Yes. The problem is that last week everybody was on these road favorites that were getting 90% of the money or more, and that's the Colts here, and they're still getting that at 3.5. So it's a little concerning, but I'm still in.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good for it. We don't have any other ones like that yet. So Raiders are not getting all the money either right now. So all right, I'm good with that.
Okay, let's put them into the next round. I feel like we like a lot. This is a good sign.
Well, the rest of the games, I only like one of like the last 7. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay, interesting. Let's see, where are we? Rams?
Rams Cardinals.
Rams at Cardinals.
This one's tough.
The Cardinals are 3-point favorites.
This is a teaser leg, by the way, for Arizona to put them at +9. Like, this is 1,000%. If you're teasing games together, you put the Cardinals together, you put the Dolphins, and I did the Seahawks. We'll get the Seahawks in a second. And a teaser. I like that better than, I think, a side here, because the Cardinals' offense just kind of hasn't really been that efficient the last 4 weeks of the season. And maybe it's Murray's shoulder. I mean, they look bad against New England. Like, they didn't run the football well enough. They didn't use Murray well enough. Kingsbury is not a good coach at the end of games. I think if people cared more about the Cardinals, we talk about how bad he is at the end of games. He makes aggressive decisions, then doesn't make aggressive decisions. Like, they're kind of a mess. And I like this Cardinals team, but the Rams are coming off an embarrassing loss. I don't want to really take a side in this game. But I think I would probably take the Rams right now.
So I actually misread this at the beginning. The Rams are 3-point road favorites at the Cardinals. And
right.
As I was sort of looking at this the first time, the Cardinals, I think people are just off the Cardinals because they've gone 0-4 against the spread in their last 4. And they were the Dolphins of a few weeks ago where everyone just loved to bet them. I think I'm on the Cardinals here because I think they're about even. The issue of Jalen Ramsey potentially being a little bit banged up, like, this is the game. This is why they pay him all that money. It's to shadow DeAndre Hopkins in a game they need. And if he's even a little bit banged up, DeAndre Hopkins is going to eat.
But is he, though? Because they haven't – the offense in Arizona just hasn't been as good the last month of the season. I feel like they're getting figured out.
Yeah, I think this shoulder thing with Murray is flying under the radar a bit. He just hasn't been quite as good the last couple weeks. There's too many things like kind of in flux here. You know, the Rams just lost to the 49ers, man. I'm not wild about the Niners taking those road favorites.
The Niners have their number, though. I think that's a kind of maybe a bad spot for the Rams. So, the Cardinals... I think we need to stay away from this game.
Yeah, we're on different sides. Let's pass it. Okay, next one. The New York Giants. The NFC East leading New York Giants are +10 at the Seahawks. And a lot of money on the Seahawks.
Colt McCoy going across the this is a teaser play for me. It's not. I Everyone's on Seattle, and I'm not going to be a public taker of Seattle. And this spot has been just brutal last month of the season. Yep. Seattle offensively is really concerning lately. They just have not been the let Russ cook offense. Whether it's just lack of trying, defenses figuring out a little bit, offensive line beat up a little bit, which really hasn't been their concern. But they just haven't looked as crisp lately on offense that they have to start the season. It's getting a little colder, right? They scored, 28 against Seattle, and what was it, 23 in an ugly game against the Eagles last weekend. The Giants' defense is not half bad. They're a scrappy group. I just 10 points, I feel like an awful lot, man.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I agree. We might kick ourselves by getting the chance to fade Colt McCoy on the road. But
yeah, but 10, I...
It's not the same. It's not the same Seattle, obviously, this year. And Seattle just needs to, they just need to win. Like, sometimes you look at these late season games, it's, you know, it's just a slog. They just got to win. Like, you know, they might win by 7 and they, it could feel like a blowout the whole game. So I agree. Exactly. We got to pass it.
Yeah.
But there are some great teaser candidates. Maybe we could try to build one at the end of the show. Okay, next is another big line. It's what the hell is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles are going to Green Bay. Green Bay is 8.5-point favorites.
Oh, boy.
We're not going to, right?
No, we're not. I can't do it. I mean, I can't keep betting these giant public home favorites.
Yeah. Well, the play would be Philly, I think, and that F that.
I mean, I think this is another teaser thing, right? You take Green Bay down to 2.5. You take Seattle down to 3. You take Arizona to 9, plus 9, and you take the Dolphins to 5.5.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Green Bay, you know, yeah. This feels like one of those games where the Eagles just pull it out of their ass. Like, I don't know why. They just seem to, like, whenever you just completely write them off, they show up. Green Bay has gotten exposed on defense a few times, but I think Green Bay could win this game by 30 also. So, you know,
that's my concern.
Yeah.
So, we're off of this. They're dead. Like, the Eagles offenses, I covered this on Tuesday's episode, but they're just, and the Packers have kind of feasted this year on bad teams. Yes. So I think they'll probably be Packers here. We'll stay away. Because this next game is like my favorite. I cannot believe this line. I'm shocked at this line.
Okay, let's talk about it. The next one is the New England Patriots at the Chargers, and it is just a pick.
Guys, Bill Belichick against Anthony Lynn.
Bingo.
How difficult is this? It's the Patriots the entire way.
Yep.
It's 1,000% the way. Here's some stats. You ready? I'm going to look at my paper and read this off to you.
Lay it on me.
Chargers are 15-25 in games decided by 10 points or fewer since Lynn took over. The Chargers are 13-22 in one-score games under Lynn. They're 4-16 in their last 20 in one-score games. If you take out the 2018 season, which seems like a little bit of an outlier for Lynn, Chargers are 7-21 in one-score games. And this season, the Chargers became the first team in NFL history to blow 4 consecutive 16-point leads. Like, guys, this is a no-brainer to me. Here's a couple more reasons I like this game. Chargers special teams, 32nd in the NFL. Okay? New England, 4th in the NFL. A couple more things. I'm going to keep going.
Please.
Anthony Lynn today told his team, we're probably out of the playoffs.
Great motivation. Excellent.
What? You probably are, but guess what? You're not. You're not out yet, and your players shouldn't know are you conceding the season already? Like, what are you doing? Like, what message does that send to your team? Bill Belichick is not saying that. He's saying, guys, look, we're 5-6. Let's get another victory. Look, and are Patriots good right now? Not really.
No. I
mean, they shouldn't have won that game. Arizona had a bad first, end of the first half, bad end of the second half, but they won. And now I just get a Patriots team that feels good about a win going across the country. They're staying out there for a week because they're playing the Niners next or the Rams next. I think they're playing the Rams next. It's Bill Belichick against Anthony Lynn. Give me the Patriots.
Yep. A few other things just to sort of pile on. The Chargers haven't covered since October when they covered by beating Jacksonville by 10 when they were favored by 8. They haven't covered in all of these amazing Justin Herbert games. They still haven't covered. That's insane. And reminder, the teams they've beaten this season, Jacksonville, Jets, Cincinnati in week 1. I was looking back today, Jeff, at this old segment I used to do on a show called Garbage Time, where I used to cut these promos as like the promo announcer for these Thursday night football games. And this is back in 2016. And it was a Chargers game. And the joke was, what wacky way are the Chargers going to blow the game this week? This is what they do. They blow games. So I am very happy to take New England's here. If this is close at all, we can count on the Chargers to blow it.
Exactly. And it's a pick 'em. So I love New England here.
Let's do it. Lock it in. Okay. Well, I'm glad that was the one you really liked, because I was nervous that it was this one. It's the Broncos.
No. Oh, no.
Man. The Drew Lock and his mom are fired up about this game. They are 14-point underdogs at the Chiefs.
I appreciate she's going to bat for her son. I have kids. I get it. But you can't do that. Like, they weren't wearing their masks. Like, whatever reason there is, the NFL had mandated wearing their masks, and they, for whatever time they didn't do it in the facility, they didn't do it. Like, yeah, the NFL made an example. Yeah, you're right. She's right about that. But nonetheless, look, I it's too big of a line, too much money on the Chiefs. Just stay the F away.
Yep, that's right. Yep, I have nothing to add to that. Yeah. You're not getting any value taking the Chiefs at this stage, but you're not taking Denver. Man, what a strange schedule the next week, and we might get a few more of these. We have two Monday night games. We have a Tuesday night game. The Cowboys Ravens.
Oh, Tuesday. You're right. Tuesday night. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So we have two Mondays and a Tuesday. I don't mind, man. I enjoyed the 3:40 kickoff today. Like, it was right between social studies and recess. We got a football game. Next up. All right. So the first Monday night game is the early one. It is we did not get a good line here. The football team at the Steelers. This was a 10 a few minutes ago. Now it's for the Super Contest. The Steelers are favored by 7.5.
Yeah. Pittsburgh routinely plays down to opponents like they did tonight, which is they played atrocious. But they were, look, without a 70-yard freak touchdown, they cover that game anyways, right? So I think that the play is nobody here. It's not the Steelers, who I do not trust in a short week now to play down to an opponent again. They're going to play down to Washington. Washington offensively is going to struggle against the Steelers defense. But the Washington, I'm not happening.
This is another, if you're listening to this Thursday and you're still seeing 9 or 10, I would absolutely pound Washington.
Yes.
If you can believe this, Jeff, every game Alex Smith has started, Washington's covered this year. It is just what he does. He covers. Wow. And this is, I mean, I didn't look this up, but I'm going to guess that Pittsburgh is playing the first Wednesday 3:40 to Monday 5 p.m. swing in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
Reminder that Washington actually played on Thanksgiving last, so they have 11 days rest coming in here. They just came off of a statement win. And this is going to be an ugly defensive game. Ben Roethlisberger today against Baltimore threw 50 times. If he does that against Washington, it will not go well, just like it didn't go well today.
No,
I think Washington keeps this one close. We did not get the best of the number here, so I think we should pass it. But if you can get 10 or 9 or whatever, do it. Take the Washington boys.
I'm with you. I agree.
That's a shame. When I was so fired up to make the case for this, but then it came down to 7.5.
I think at 10, I would have been with you.
10 for sure. 10 is like a no-brainer. I agree. That's why they draft the line.
Agreed.
Okay, next one is interesting game. Buffalo, 2.5-point road favorites at San Francisco, who's playing in Arizona. So that's going to be strange.
I have no feel for this game whatsoever. The Niners obviously come off that win against the Rams, but they always play the Rams really well. But they're a feisty team with Nick Mullins, right? But they have so many guys hurt. And Buffalo feels like the obvious pick here. And the obvious picks in this spot, I don't know, have been really good. I have zero feel for this game. I wish I'd give you more on it. I tried to find some sort of angle that I really liked, but the Bills are playing well. But what do you think, Matt? I don't know. I feel like this, out of all the games we have, this is like a game I don't feel great about.
Yeah, I actually like San Francisco here. Obviously, like, it's sort of weird to say, like, well, they're a short home favorite or short home dog because they're not really home. But honestly, this is
2.5 sucks. 2.5 sucks, though.
Yeah, but it actually, this is at 1 or 1.5 now. So we actually are getting a pretty good number if we're into San Francisco. Look, this is Buffalo. Coming off of a kind of close game last week that I did really like. I think Buffalo is like a little bit overinflated and San Francisco is a little bit undervalued. San Francisco, their offensive line has played a lot better, which I feel like is flying under the radar because they were a mess earlier and they still have some pretty bad injuries there.
Yep.
Their defensive line is playing better. Their secondary is a little healthier. The key to this team for San Francisco, it's two guys. It's Mostert and it's Samuel, and they're both back, and they came back last week and they beat the Rams, and neither and Mostert didn't even play that well, but Samuel had like 130 yards of total offense. And if, you know, you see with him, and if Kittle were to come back eventually, why they're so good on offense. Like, they're very creative. I think Kyle Shanahan is like, this is one of those
fantastic coach.
Yeah, it's just one of those like heroic showings this year where he's just making the most out of what he's got. And this is a situation, right? This is Buffalo, who has traditionally not been good on Monday nights, going across the country off of a win. And the 49ers are probably just as good as them. So I would be okay taking the 2.5.
Two and a half over three, though.
It's not great, but it's 1.5 in real life. So
You know, the one thing about the Niners, too, is defensively, they're playing better when guys have come back now. They're 9th in DVOA on defense.
They're good, man. So, they're playing good football.
All right, I'll put it down as a maybe. I'm okay with that. I'm worried about all their injuries, though. So, it's Wednesday. It kind of sucks. We have a bunch of injury games that we don't know about what's going to happen yet.
That's true. All right, they played such a tough schedule, by the way, the 49ers.
I think last game is a complete stay away.
Yeah, I got no feel here because, I mean, it's crazy that they had to hang this line already. It's Dallas at the Ravens. The Ravens are 9.5-point home favorites, which must mean they think Lamar is coming back, because if he is not coming back, then I think you have to take Dallas.
You can't touch this game because you don't know the COVID status of any of the players. Like, this is just a complete stay away. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could give you more, but unless I know the Ravens players, how could I tell you what to do? I don't know who's playing that game.
I think we've seen across the NFL this year a few of these contracts that are just looking so terrible. I don't think there's one that looks worse than the Ezekiel Elliott contract. And I know you'll take your victory lap about running backs, but there is something off with that dude. And the genie might be out of the bottle. Like, he just might be washed already.
Right, which again, don't pay running backs. We're not gonna have that discussion today, but just
Jared Goff's another. I mean, there are just a few of these contracts where you're just
Carson
like,
Wentz.
Carson Wentz, yep.
But you're kind of stuck though. You have to pay these guys. Like, you can't really go back in the draft and get someone else. That's the problem. Yep.
Jalen Smith on Dallas, like, they have there.
Oh, jeez,
there in
everyone,
hell.
Everyone, they paid him instead of Dak. It's just wild to me. All right,
yep.
We actually only have 7 this week. Normally we have like 12. We got to go through. So we have Tennessee minus the 5.5. That's a lock. That's it.
Lock.
Vegas minus 8.5.
Okay.
Atlanta plus 3. Indy minus 3.5. New England pick'em is in.
Yep.
Miami minus 11.5. SF plus 2.5. I think the Vegas one is... So we have those 5. Vegas, Atlanta, Indy, Miami, San Francisco for the 3 spots left. And we could leave one open to see, like, if the Colts and Niners and the Dolphins, like, their injury situation, how that, you know, works itself out with COVID and guys playing. I feel like we can't bet on the Dolphins or the Colts truly until we know who's playing and who's not.
I'm pretty, yeah, we can't do that with the Colts, but it's going to be pretty hard to shake me off of that one. So I feel like for the purposes of the show, we can maybe
put Indy in. Okay, we'll put Indy in there.
Knowing that, you know, To pull back the curtain, like, we obviously change these when the Broncos don't get a quarterback and we can take the Saints like 2 days after we record. That happened last week.
It's fair game.
I'm on New Orleans instead of Atlanta. So if you're passionate about it, I'll go with you. It's your show, and you're.
We made a rule about betting on it. We made a rule about not betting on Atlanta, right?
Yeah, let's. I feel great seeing that one go away in the Google
Doc. We'll take it away. So we have now Vegas, Miami, and San Francisco. Who do you feel better about? Big favorite: Vegas against the Jets or Dolphins at home against the Bengals?
Dolphins. I feel great about the Dolphins. You talked me into them, and you know how quick I'll turn into Fitzmagic. Let's fly.
So now we have the Raiders on the road, minus 8.5 against the worst team in the NFL, who is losing every game by 15.5 points.
Getting a shit number.
In a revenge spot. I mean, not a revenge spot, like a bounce back spot for the Raiders. Yep. or the Niners at home against the Bills. I just, the Niners, man, scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, and they're not even at home.
And they're only, and it's like under a few, it's like a, they have to basically win this game for us to cover.
Yep. I mean, I'll take the Raiders. I'll do it. If something happens, I mean, there's a good chance we'll be taking Dallas if Lamar Jackson isn't coming back. So
we got five favorites basically. Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, last Titans, week these all lost. So this week maybe they start to come back.
Titans, Vegas, Dolphins, Colts, Patriots. Boom. And of course, subject to change as the week goes on, because it's Wednesday, guys.
As always.
Waking Wet's on Wednesday is hard to do, so things change. We're going to change it every now and then. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate it. We will talk to you guys on Tuesday at Jeff Schwartz. Please rate, review, subscribe. I appreciate when you guys go rate, review, and subscribe whatever medium you get this podcast on. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Talk to you guys Tuesday.